It's time to learn what's happening in nearby Sauk Prairie. Rolla Bresch is here with another edition of Mornings at McFarland's from our 99.7 FM studios at McFarland's in Sauk City. Today's program is brought to you by DeMars Plumbing, Prairie Clinic, and Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gift Shop.
Nothing could be finer than to be on Carolina in the morning. Nothing could be better than a bunch of brand new cheddar at McFarland's. Yeah, well, we're not really talking with cheeseheads today. Some of them are. Some, I think we do have at least one or two cheeseheads here and at the radio station with us here broadcasting from McFarland's in Sauk City. But this is a really cool day. We have, for the first time, I believe, in the history of McFarland's, we are having a meeting of all of our sales folks and some of our vendors and some of our customers from all over the country. And some people have never been here. They've actually dealt with McFarland's products for a number of years and have just never been to the home plant. Yes, we're coming home today. But we're celebrating our platinum year. Those of you who listen to Mornings at McFarland's on a weekly basis know that this is a special year for McFarland's. It's our 100th anniversary year of being in business way back in 1917 when Grandpa Earl McFarland started the company with the Wisconsin Tractor. And that line of succession has continued through the present day with our current owners who are third generation, John, Stan, Tom, and Dick McFarland are third generation. The grandkids of Earl and have continued that fine tradition so that we're still in business today. So continuous line. But I have three wonderful guests with me this morning that are going to talk with us about all kinds of things. This is going to just be a really fun program. So if you know something about farming, it'll be speak to you directly. And if you know nothing about farming, it will teach you a whole lot. So I'm going to just go across the table and have each one of them introduce you. Right to my left, we have...
I'm John Couch. I'm with Cisco, which is an acronym for Superior Implement Supply Company out of Greenville, Ohio. We represent the McFarland product line in the state of Ohio, Michigan, and Indiana.
Ohio, Michigan, and Indiana. Do they have cheese there, John?
Oh, yeah, there's cheese there. Wisconsin doesn't have an exclusive.
Okay, and you do have cheddar, right?
Yes,
okay.
Cheddar, Munster, all kind of good stuff.
All right. Well, of course, every once in a while, I'm sure the connoisseurs of cheese in those areas probably get some Wisconsin cheese just to really taste. You know,
it's a reality check, yeah.
Good job, John. So, and next to John is?
Al Hemerson from Gilmore City, Iowa. I'm a McFarland customer, have been since 1992. We are familiar with their famous spike tooth harrow, and we also run their quadratill.
Al and I talked together a couple of last year, at the Farm Progress Show,
yes.
Right? And I remember after that show, I almost had to do a disclaimer to say you were not an employee of McFarland's because the the rave review that you gave us for the products that you've used was just wonderful. I mean, I took great pride in just knowing that you have been as satisfied with those products as you have been, and I'm just really pleased you can be here this morning again, Al. It's great to see you.
Well, we were cordially invited to be here by the McFarland Manufacturing. I would like to congratulate the management and employees of McFarland for their 100-year anniversary.
Thank you, Al. So appreciate it. And next to him is?
Mark Tibbetts from General Implement Distributors out of Salt Lake City, Utah.
Salt Lake City. Okay, excellent. Yeah. Well, are you like the furthest away person coming in, you think?
Not the furthest, okay. But we cover 17 states for McFarland.
Okay.
So we cover a pretty broad area.
Okay.
A lot of different crops, a lot of area to sell all their products. And we've been distributing products since 1938, and McFarland has been one of our manufacturers since, for approximately 25 years.
Wow. So, excellent. So, we've got some real breadth of knowledge here across the table, don't we? And, you know, Silent Sam's here on the side. I got Darren Harn and Chris are back over there just trying to, you know, behave themselves while we're on the air, which for Darren is going to be really tough, I think, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. And, if you need to pipe in, Darren, if you need to, you know, just go ahead and just swing that microphone over to yourself and, you know, correct me or whatever you need to do. Or just harass me. That's fine, too. So, anyways, well, so gentlemen, tell me, we've already actually talked about two of these things in your individual backgrounds, areas of responsibility and stuff, but let's talk a little bit about just the ag industry. Given that we've got a pretty wide perspective here across the country, what are the things that you see today that are going on in the ag industry that really kind of stand out to you as important factors, maybe different factors than have ever been the case in your memory Or just that, you know, things that you hear from farmers. Allie, you'll be able to speak directly to the challenges that you're facing right now. But who wants to take that question first? Talk about the state of affairs. We do that, the state of the union, when we talk about, you know, the country on a yearly basis. What's the state of the agricultural union right now?
Well, in our situation, I mean, no one's, you know, obscure to the fact that the crop prices have diminished substantially, but, you know, it's a cyclical situation. We went through this in the early 70s. We had the roaring 70s, and then we kind of tapered down and went into the 90s and into the 2000s, but we also went through that period in the 1980s. I mean, this is nothing in comparison. You know, the debt-to-asset ratio of the farming community now is much stronger and more secure than it was during the 1980s, and now we're in that cyclical period where we rose up there, and, you know, between 2006 and 2012, I mean, we had the roaring corn prices and soybean prices, but now it's leveled off, and I think the farming community is becoming more aware that we're in a global economy now and we have to be competitive at those prices. And like I was visiting with Chris and Darren on the way up here and these other gentlemen, right now it's most important that we, you know, the farmers, yes, it's important that you make a good decision, but it's imperative that you make a great decision now to survive.
Sure.
And you know, in McFarland, they've done this through the last 100 years. And next summer, we will celebrate our farm will be 150 years old. It's
wow.
been in the family 150 years. So you look back past the history of, you know, not only the manufacturing, but the farming community. And these families are strong. They know they have the survival skills. And as long as you have a good lender relationship, we will survive this and we will get through with it.
Sure.
And we will move into another area in the farming.
Sure. I mean, as all things, there's highs and lows, right? There are peaks and valleys, and you kind of have to be aware of that and prepare. I think of, like, what's the Proverbs that talk about, you know, storing things up for the times when things are going to be more lean. And it's sometimes it's easy to just, when things are good, to just spend like crazy and, you know, oh, I'm happy, happy, happy. And then all of a sudden the harder times come and you don't have those resources to draw from.
And what we're seeing in our areas, a lot of the larger operations, if it's not, you know, financially feasible to keep farming that piece of ground, some of them are relinquishing their grip. You know, it's a tough decision, but it's an economic decision that they have to make.
Right.
I mean, my wife and I personally, at one time, we were farming nearly 750 to 780 acres, and part of that ground was actually my father-in-law's ground. And, you know, I came to the conclusion that if he could make more money with another tenant that was willing to pay him a higher premium for his ground, then that was an economic decision that he had to make, and it was
sure.
an economic decision that we had to relinquish that. And, you know, we still have family reunions. We still
yeah.
visit with one another. I mean, it's nothing, you know, my wife and I have been married 32 years, so, but it was a financial decision. It's not
sure.
Right now, ladies and gentlemen, you can't make an emotional decision. It has to be a financial decision to survive.
Yeah.
You go into survival mode.
Yeah. And that's really hard. I think especially with, well, I think McFarland's faces that thing when it's a family business. I mean, you've got so much of your personal self invested in, you know, it's different when you work for IBM or you work for a, you know, large company where you're kind of separated from the ownership and the financial decisions. You learn that, you know, it's just kind of the way it is. But when it's your personal thing, when it's the stuff that you've sweat and, you know, some days cried over and other days, you know, just been elated because things went well, it's a lot harder to keep that separation in your brain, I would imagine. I know it is around here. You know, sometimes some of the decisions we make, people really grieve over them and really struggle over them because they know it's going to have personal impact on people, that it's tough to, you know, look those people in the eye and say, I'm sorry, but we got to cut back. So... do you find the same sort of thing, or have you been able to, over 30, well, I guess more than that, even farming, but it sounds like you've done a really good job of balancing that idea of, this is business, we got to survive.
Yeah, and like I say, you will eventually go into that survival mode. I mean, we've had some corporate takeovers not too far away from us that were family-owned businesses, and the larger corporations have come in and, you know, made them an offer they basically couldn't refuse. But
sure.
the family operations have been able to keep that operation in the hometown. We've had two situations in our area where the larger corporations have come in and purchased those family operations, but the family operation stays there. The family has the creativeness to keep that operation in their hometown to support those local families and local
sure.
organizations.
Well, keeping that long-term goal in mind is really
yes.
kind of critical to it all. Mark or Johnny want to join in? We're going to have to take a quick break before we get to both of you, probably. But so who of you wants more time to think? Mark, you lost. Sorry. John raised his hand first.
So, I got the short stick.
Yeah, you got the short stick. Sorry, dude. Mark, what are you seeing out in Sauk Lake, Utah? Well, in 17 states, holy cow, you've got a pretty broad perspective, I would think.
It changes from state to state, you know, depending on what's going on. The weather makes a big factor in what happens. Sure. The growers out where we're at, a big problem that we've got is commodity prices, which everyone is faced with. You know, lower commodity prices, higher equipment prices, your input costs are higher with fertilizer and everything else. It makes it a real challenge for these growers to afford to buy new equipment. One of the challenges we see is, you know, the majors make good product, but sometimes their product isn't always the best fit for the farm.
Sure.
And McFarland makes some great products that at times are a much better fit than what a dealer may want to push.
Yeah.
And so getting the knowledge of the products out there it becomes a challenge because it can be an uphill battle.
Well, and I know, this is going to sound a little bit self-aggratiating, I guess, but I've listened to a lot of our sales guys, and I try to be unbiased about this, because I'm very critical of things in general. Very critical. Just ask my wife; she'll tell you. So, I listen to our sales guys, and I think one of the things that sets us apart, I hope it sets us apart, is that we really do get with farmers and figure out what's best for them. Mm-hmm. I think it's easier for a bigger company to just not quite have that connection to the personal farmer to understand the things that are going on, because they've got to think in terms of volume. So they can't really be as concerned about the individual person, whereas we really try to listen to as much of those individual things and I think build into the products themselves that ability to be flexible on the basis of what an individual needs. Mm-hmm. So, we're small enough to be able to respond to that. You know, it's almost like, in my mind, it's like having a sports car versus a Suburban. You can maneuver around corners a lot faster, a lot quicker with a sports car than you can with a Suburban. And that's the one thing Al's talking about, how we have to be smarter and make great decisions. We find the same pressure. We've got to make those great decisions on a regular basis. So are you seeing anything in particular? Is there a common thread? I guess I do hear the common thread of the rising prices and the collapsing, or the rising costs, the collapsing prices. It's kind of the classic, we're squeezing both sides against the middle. So speaking back to Al's point, you got to make those smart decisions to survive in that kind of market. But are there other factors you think that you see, the stresses on the family, that kind of thing?
You know, there's always stresses on the family, as you know, the farms, the more acres you have to farm, the more time you got to spend. This year, a real challenge has been moisture, which puts additional stress on everyone because, out where we're at, a lot of it is all irrigation. And sure. So there's areas where it's irrigated and we've had good moisture. They're doing okay. But you get into some of the areas in the Dakotas and eastern Montana and it's dry. The farmers and the cattle ranchers there are really struggling. And then you get to over into the Oregon coast and it's been so wet that they haven't been able to get, they don't get to the field. So they run late. And so it puts a lot of pressure on families that are, they may not have a big operation. They may not have a lot of hired hands. And so it's them putting in the extra hours.
Sure. Sure. Well, and you think of the relationships with family farms, especially that puts the relationships of the family under stress. It's everybody's closely connected to the problems. They see the problems. Mm-hmm. It's hard when you're struggling with things like water, which you can't control.
Yeah.
I mean, you can pray a lot more, I suppose. Hopefully that helps, but there are situations where it's dry and what are you going to do except try to make the most of it and, economize where you can and, be as environmentally wise as you can, right?
Yeah.
And
that's where the tools that you use come into play, tools that are going to be more water friendly, that are going to hold the moisture in the ground longer so that whatever moisture you do have is going to get to the plants that need it.
Well, and I suppose even the plants that you select, sometimes are you seeing people having to change the crops that they plant just to try to accommodate some of that situation?
Yeah, we've seen a lot. Last year we saw a lot of alfalfa come out because it's a very water dependent. It uses a lot of water to grow alfalfa, and so we saw a lot of that come out last year.
Okay.
With the dry weather. This year we saw a lot more planted, but you know, in these areas where it's really dry, they're gonna plant a crop that's not gonna demand so much water.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick break for a station identifier, and so our sponsors can have a chance to sell some stuff too, right? So hopefully, we're here on WRPQ Radio. We're talking with some great reps and a customer of ours here at McFarland's, John Couch and Al Hammerson and Mark Tibbetts. I'm so thankful you guys have name tags on this morning, because I would never remember all those names. I sound much more impressive over the radio than I do when you're looking at me, and I'm looking intently at the, making sure I pronounce things correctly. But anyways, we'll take a quick break. Don't go anywhere, folks. We're celebrating our 100th anniversary here with our Platinum Dealer Meeting, and having a great opportunity to talk with some folks across the nation about farming and some of the issues that are facing our farmers across the country. So it's a great opportunity to hear what's going on around the country and the challenges that farmers are facing. And we'll be back in just a minute and talk with John Couch. John will have a lot of time just to think here during break. So, John, I hope you have something really wise to say.
We'll see.
Take care, folks. Don't go anywhere.
DeMars Plumbing, since 1982, is the plumbing company to turn to for quality design, installation, maintenance, and repair of residential and business plumbing systems. DeMars Plumbing specializes in plumbing fixtures and water heaters, septic systems, private water well systems, radiant in-floor heating, and excavating and trucking needs. DeMars Plumbing, located just west of Sauk Prairie. They're open weekdays 7 to 5. Call 608-544-4471. Online at DemarsPlumbing.com. Summer is warm weather, the great outdoors, and some common health ailments. These can include sunburn, poison ivy, tick and insect bites, bee stings, sinus, pink eye, earaches, and sore throats. When illness strikes, see the Prairie Express Clinic at 112 Helen Street in Sauk City. Prairie Express is a walk-in clinic providing the best possible care for patients ages 12 months and up. Prairie Express Clinic offers convenient hours of 9 to 7 Mondays, 1 to 7 Tuesday through Thursday, and Fridays 9 to 4. Prairie Express Clinic, dedicated to caring for the community the past 60 years.
The almost unearthly luster of pearls has always been prized and well-loved as a gift. Sophie's Fine Jewelry in Baraboo has shimmering pearls and earrings, pearls in pins, pearls in necklaces and pendants, pearls with price tags as varied as the selection. Pearls with their mysterious glow add a translucent beauty to the woman who wears them. When you give a gift of pearls, she'll love them as much as she'll love you. Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gifts, Highway 12 in the Baraboo Mini Mall.